Michigan Street Race Radio Special here with NASCAR Hall of Famer, all-time great crew chief, owner, ambassador, and voice of the sport, the one and only Ray Evernham. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you very much. And, you know, I hadn't been to Chicago in a while and forgotten how beautiful it is. You know, some of the sights you were just showing me from up in the building here, you know, you forget about the pier and everything. What an incredible place.
Well, these are some of the distractions, right, that takes it out of the norm. Racing is all about consistency, trying to maintain things, do things the way that you want to do it. So what are the teams thinking now? Because everybody is sort of at square one with a blank slate. They're even, you know, not allowing cup drivers to go ahead and race the they don't want anyone to have a leg up on things. So you've got all of that unknown. You've got all of that excitement with everybody knowing that they will be making history.
They really will. And you know, from the fans' perspective, I got to drive around the course this morning in a vehicle, and I can't wait to see these cars go ripping around there. And I'm thinking, are the drivers going to be sightseeing a little bit, you know, as you go past the shore and you're headed down there? And, you know, they're going to be, I think we're going to see 160 mile an hour speeds headed down the shore drive there. And, you know, it's just incredible being able to watch cars go that fast in the middle of city streets. You know, NASCAR's really never done anything like this. This may be the boldest move they've made in our 75 years.
Oh, I think so. We're going to get into a little bit of that. New market, new fans, breaking a bunch of new ground with nobody knowing exactly how it's going to work. But as a guy who's spent a career sizing up the competition, like who has a leg up, if anyone? Is it the equipment side with Hendrick? Is it Penske because of just the diversity of the racing programs they do and ways that they can sort of kind of get intel to their drivers for this? Like, does anybody have an advantage?
Well, you'd look at the Penske folks and think, okay, they've run more street courses than the other guys because of their IndyCar stuff. But, you know, NASCAR has done a really good job with this car, with parity, making it kind of equal, and the box of things that they can do with it is smaller than what we used to have to work on. So a big advantage, I don't think anybody's going to have a big advantage. And it's going to come down to the guys that are really good road racers. You know, you look at guys like Chase Elliott and, you know, Kyle Larson, A.J. Allmendinger, you know, people like that, and right, you know, that are just great road racers, and either not going to get a lot of practice. The course looks like it's going to be a lot of acceleration and deacceleration, and you know, so it's really going to be very, I think, technical. The guys that start good, stop good, shift good, and, you know, plan their cornering and braking are going to be tough to beat.
This is the first time in history that the Cup Series has done a street race. So you ask yourself, in the 75 years, why? And part of it is off the air. We were talking about it. The car is more conducive to it. You kind of intimated as well. You know, the schedule has more road races on it. The road racing is something that is in a typical elite driver skill set now, where in the past it wasn't. There was a few that were really good at it. You'd bring in like a Bora Sed or something like that, where now kind of everybody aspires at least to be good at it. I mean, it's a good time coming from all directions for this.
Well, and these drivers, it's a different, you know, it's evolution, right? You know, the cars have evolved. We talked about what a great, you know, how this car is much more suited than the cars that we used to have, but the drivers are much more suited too. And I'm going to tell you straight up, a lot of the simulators and iRacing and stuff comes from these, you know, these guys are good from being able to do that. And, you know, the fact that NASCAR is not asking new fans now to, hey, let's bring them out to a stadium. They're coming to your home. They're coming. They're a gummer in the year's dread. We're in your driveway, man. We're there. And I think that is the future of where motorsports is headed. If we want to get people involved in the big cities, we need to go to them and put these events on right on their streets.
Yeah. No, Ray, you hit on it. Not everybody who experiences the NASCAR street race is going to be even a willing participant, because it is going to be on here. And I always say it. We always say that the sights, the sounds, the smells, and all of that happens. And you know, when you come into this, so you grew up in New Jersey, great local racing, but not the Southeast, not NASCAR. And for them to come to a market like this that is so unlike, granted, there's racing fans everywhere, but it's so unlike the typical places that they've been. You mentioned it's a bold move. It's a brave move, but with a big risk reward. I mean, the payoff could be huge, because so talk about that as a historian and a fan of the sport in general. This is a level jumper right here, because if you get in here, NASCAR and Chicago gets the bug, I mean, mean, it's going to be huge for new fans.
It is. And, you know, NASCAR's committed. You know, they're committed to doing this. They've committed to Chicago. You know, Chicago's committed to NASCAR. You know, NASCAR is, you know, we're looking at, they're looking at doing things in the Boys and Girls Clubs and some of the public schools. And Chicago, with the commitment, what they're doing, building the structure here, you know, I look at it and think it is a great partnership, and it is great because it is doing something great for NASCAR and something great for Chicago. When you look at Formula One and you look at IndyCar, you know, some of the tracks that they go, but if you look at their biggest races, the biggest, look at Monaco. You know, hey, you know, certainly you compare Monaco and Chicago, but you know, you look, we got the same thing. There's really nice boats out there. We're along the water racing through the city, you know, and then Long Beach, where one of the biggest IndyCar races, same thing. So who's to say that Chicago cannot develop into one of the, you know, one of the big three or four events that NASCAR holds?
I was going to ask that a little bit later on in the interview, but I was talking with Dale Jarrett, and it isn't like there's an AFC championship game or an obvious game with importance and a label stuck on it. The crown jewels for NASCAR become important because either history or the track or money or the setting, there's a lot of intangibles that sort of come into play here. And this, because of the setting, and like you said, the unique setting, you know, there's bragging rights for the Clash of the Coliseum, but it's an exhibition. It's not a points race. So this matters in every way, and it's big for the sport. So your thoughts, Ray Evernham, like if this goes well, you know, God willing, everything goes well for this and it's the exciting race we all know it will be, does Chicago automatically become, I mean, there's some cachet to being the inaugural winner. We still talk to Kevin Harvick about winning that first race at Chicagoland, but does this Chicago street race automatically become maybe a crown jewel or one of the big races out of the gate?
Easily could happen. Again, as I said, when I toured it this morning, I'd forgotten what a beautiful place Chicago is, and then thought, wow. When I looked at the track, and I'm thinking, this is going to be challenging, you know, the way that they're going to be going, and you're going past the fountain, you're going past all of these buildings. They're having the concerts and the fan festivals and everything here. There's a huge, huge reason for people to come and be entertained other than the race. And, you know, it's great if you love the race, but it is going to be happening. And I can tell you that the inaugural wins are important to drivers. So we're probably going to see, on Sunday, a little bit, you know, a bent bumper here and there and maybe some hurt feelings. But that trophy is important to drivers.
Yeah. You mentioned Monaco, and some of that is the stars, the glitz, the glamour. And Chicago has every bit of that as far as a possibility, right? It is a cosmopolitan international city with some of the best food in the country. You got the beautiful lakefront, got some star power. NASCAR went with not just resting on the racing side of things. You mentioned it, the festival, you've got the concerts, you've got the music stars, you know, and you look at, let's say, an event like a Daytona 500. There are people that are A-list rock stars, movie stars, all walks of notoriety come to an event like that. I think you'll see that here. Like, what do you think? Like, I would think everyone who's ever been anyone in NASCAR will try to make their way to Chicago, but even more.
What they've done here, when I look at the structure that they've built with some of the President's Club and things, they've taken that level of hospitality much higher above a standard NASCAR race or what people would expect from a NASCAR race. And I've seen it grow and evolve throughout the years. But when you look at its PGA level, you know, NFL level, you know, again, the suites, the hospitalities, you know, they've got concerts going on, like Miranda Lambert, the Chainsmokers are there, you know for us older guys, the Black Crowes, but Charlie Crockett, I mean, I love Charlie Crockett. I said, you guys have got like the whole demographic covered of people, but I think that level of hospitality is going to draw the people that are used to going to a Formula One event, because there's some really good combinations that you sit in a comfortable deal, have a glass of champagne, watch the races, and I think that's what's going to attract the stars.
Well, I mean, think about this, Ray. There is, and let the listeners know, we're talking with one and only NASCAR Hall of Famer, all-time great, Ray Evernham. NASCAR is so many different worlds. I mean, it is not far from its roots and traditions. You go to Talladega, it's a much different experience than Sonoma, right? And so this has an opportunity to be more of that cosmopolitan. You've got all of those things kind of built in to it as well. And they have, as you mentioned, we've seen them trying to integrate themselves in the community and supporting the Boys and Girls Club, and whether it's the national anthem with the choir, with there's a lot of different ways. Great companies, corporate headquarters, Blue Cross Blue Shield, McDonald's.
McDonald's, big supporter of NASCAR for years.
Yeah, and it's great to have them in their hometown be able to have that role in their placement with it. On the manufacturer side, a little bit interesting as well. You've famously taken every one of the American manufacturers to victory lane. You did that this time for the pace car. They're going to have like one of each, right? They're going to have, there's going to be a Ford, there's going to be a Toyota, there's going to be a Chevrolet, the pace cars.
Well, you hold your thought on that, Ray. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Ray Everham. It is the Street Race Radio Special 720 WGN. WGN, and we are going to check in with our friends down at Bub City in just a couple minutes. We want to finish up our conversation with NASCAR Hall of Famer Ray Everham. So, Ray, when you think about this in the pace car, we talked about how you've brought every American manufacturer to victory lane. And for this race, they don't have one pace car. They have three, all the different manufacturers. I mean, what do you think of that?
I was kind of disappointed. I was hoping to be the Bluesmobile, you know, but... You know, but
there's still time.
Because if somebody, there's a Bluesmobile out here that I follow on one of the social medias. Maybe they'll show up and ride around.
It's at events.
Yeah.
Look, we'll lobby for that. The suggestion box, we're going to go ahead and put that in there. So let's say Chicago gets the racing bug and they want more. Obviously, NASCAR's got a 3-year relationship just to start out here. So we know this is happening again and again. But once you prove it can be done, and once the city gets over a little bit of the growing pains of, you know, our traffic guy was like, hey, Dan, what do you think about this NASCAR thing? I'm like, it's going to be awesome. He's like, well, everyone's real crabby about the lane closure. Like, everyone just has their own perspective on it. But once we figure out what it is economically, just for the fans, and that it can work. I was talking with Mario Andretti during the Indy 500, and we had talked for the last couple of years about a street race here. Once you prove it can be done, then it's there. You could do it, maybe that, or maybe you always talk about bringing back the IROC series. Like, what else do you think this could lead to for racing?
Again, I think the possibilities are endless because you've got the course, you've got the infrastructure, and once you know how to do it and get it set, you know, that NASCAR Sunday is a big event. As NASCAR continues to grow, you know, NASCAR's had a few crossroads in the last several years, and they've made some really great turns to take the sport into the next generation, the next group of fans, and the next group of sponsors, the way that television is done, the way the media comes about NASCAR. They're doing a lot of things there, but that those Friday and Saturday events, I mean, it could be celebrity races, it could be IROC races, you know, it could be a number of different things. That, you know, there could be a time when IndyCar and NASCAR are back together again. How awesome would that be?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So there is so much going on, and like we said, even for the drivers, there's so much excitement, but also so much unknown from the fan side. No one really knows, and the feedback that I get, what to want. You know, NASCAR has some packages and some places that'll obviously be good on the hospitality side and comfort side and experience side, but there's so much unknown. So as a guy who's always sizing up the race and the situation, Ray Everham, like, where are you going to be experiencing the race? What would you suggest for the fans to do seeing it for the first time?
Well, unfortunately for me, I'll be in Florida on another commitment.
I'll be watching on
TV, like, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be great race on TV. But if it were me, I would probably get one of the middle hospitality packages, unless they're going to bring me in as a celebrity and put me to President's Club. That'd be awesome, right? But you know, to be able to see the concerts, what I like about what I've seen with this festival deal is, you know, there's one ticket, right? So you can walk around, see all the concerts. You can sample the restaurants. You can grab a beer if you want to. Even if I had the hospitality stuff, I'd probably be walking around so I could get up close to the cars and maybe move from corner to corner and see some of the different areas of the racetrack. You know, being a race fan, you know, it's like going to a ball game. You know, if you're in a box, you still want to get out and sit in the bleachers a little bit too. So the good news is they have several different packages that work just about for anybody. If you want to walk around and kind of do your own, or if you want to sit up with the celebrities and sip champagne,
a little bit of something.
And you see Jeff Gordon. That's where Jeff Gordon will be sitting.
we'll get his thoughts on his pregame possibilities. And so as we let you go, you know, of course, we'll have links up at WGNradio.com. But Ray, for you, like, is there, I know the car collection, and we cover, and all the guys with the Meekum and Barrett Jackson and all of that kind of stuff. And people are excited to see just how you've sort of kept the history of cars in a bunch of different ways and some great ones with your collection. Are there any other things that you're doing that you'd like to share with the listeners outside of race weekend?
Right now, we are doing a lot of history, gathering up a lot of IROC cars. You know, that is a series that's very close to my heart. So we're trying to gather up a lot of the history with that. But, you know, really working just with my vintage cars and still continuing to really work hard with our charity to help young adults on the autism spectrum, you know, be placed in the community and grow and learn and development. So those two things. And every once in a while, I get to have a great day today for being a NASCAR ambassador. And you know, it's such an honor to be part of the NASCAR Hall of Fame and get to do things like this.
Yeah, it's exciting. And people love whatever you do in motorsports. I know I got a chance to see and talk to you and Jeff down at Indianapolis Motor Speed with the Porsche event that you did. You guys got back together on the crew chief driver side. Always exciting. So thanks so much for everything you're doing. Thanks for being in Chicago. Thanks for jumping on the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ray Evernham. Of course, you know, the epicenter of this, a lot of action on the track. But coming up tonight, of course, we've got out at Bub City, we've got the El Bandito Yankee event that is happening there, an opportunity to not only have those signature cocktails, but also sign up to win that trip to the NASCAR Championship weekend out in Phoenix. And our WGN correspondent is there, the one and only Kevin McDonough. Kevin, you are there on site. How is it?
Dane, we're having an absolute blast out here. It is packed. You know, you can tell there's a buzz in the air. It's a history making street race weekend. You can feel it for sure.
So the car is out there. Sort of paint that picture as only a Kevin McDonough can do. So you have the car out front. The El Bandito Yankee race car is out there. You've got Bub City, which is a great environment. You got country music. You've got a lot of racing and a racing vibe. You've got the El Bandito folks there. I mean, it seems like a great fit.
Yeah, the El Bandito folks are here. The street race, you know, the vehicle is outside. So we are right on Clark and Hubbard. And as you pull up, you know you're in the right place because you got the race car that's decked out in El Bandito. You got every single server wearing an El Bandito T-shirt, which, Dane, you're going to have to give me one of those. Those street racing T-shirts are pretty awesome. And the energy is just phenomenal. I mean, it is awesome, and everyone's sipping El Bandito signature drinks, the margaritas. I'm just sipping it. Just, you know, I can just sip it neat. It's that smooth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's the thing. So Pat Patterson is in studio with us, and not only does he know racing, but he does know tequila. He knows a good time, and he wants to know from you, Kevin. So what is your favorite beverage? Obviously, for, you know, media purposes, research purposes, educational purposes, you've had to sample a little bit of the libations. You know, Pat, what do you think is the favorite?
Well, actually, I was going to tell Kevin, because I used to race cars, I was going to tell Kevin how, if he's really careful, he can go out there and get in that El Bandito Yankee tequila race car, and I can tell him how to crank it up. You know, and how much fun, Kevin, would that be if I could get you behind the wheel out there and get you ready to maybe make a lap or two in that thing tonight?
That sounds phenomenal. Hold on, guys. I'm going to go outside now, and you're going to walk me through it. I might have to hop through the window in the front because I don't have the key, but I can get in if you can tell me what to do from here.
Kevin, you know what? You get in that car. Pat will tell you how to operate it. You take that first lap. You will have the fastest lap in Chicago street race history, at least for 48 hours.
He may have to sign the waiver, though, before he gets it. We got a waiver. We got to get him to sign that first, right?
Kevin, we're going to have to take a break. We are going to be back with you again. We're going to visit. Keep up all that fun there at Bub City 435 North Clark. Thanks so much.
The Street Race Radio Special, and excited to have on NASCAR pit reporter Arca Menard, serial play-by-play announcer, and one of the favorite voices of motorsports, and of course, part of that great team at NASCAR on Fox, the one and only Jamie Little. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, Dane, it's good to be on. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a little while. You've been traveling the country, of course, bringing America all of their favorite races, whether it's NASCAR and the Cup Series or the Menard Series and all the action that's going on. You guys get that break. I always wondered, is it for you guys, is it, well, on the Fox side, okay, you know, another successful season, we can kind of catch our breath and relax a little bit and do some things? Or are you thinking, geez, I wish we were doing the whole season? How is it?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, after what, 18 straight weekends on the road covering all the action in four different series, it's like, oh, you could catch your breath. You have some vacation time. I'm actually on vacation right now. But at the same time, you're like, dang, I don't like to sit back on the couch and watch a race with another network doing it. It's just strange. I feel like we set up all the storylines and then somebody else just gets to take the ball and run with it. So it's a little of both.
I see it as we look at it from sort of that, you know, objective perspective that I think it's a great sort of like baton that you wouldn't necessarily see the peaceful transition of power, right, in the motorsports world. And it seems like it goes pretty seamlessly because unlike almost any other sport, whether it's Fox or NBC, it seems like the betterment, the advancement of NASCAR in the sport seems to be the highest priority.
Absolutely. And, you know, no matter who's covering it, they've been doing it a while. NBC, Fox, and ESPN did it, same thing. You know, we're part of it, and we have people at the track no matter if we're covering the big races on Saturdays and Sundays or not. But yes, we know that all eyes are on NASCAR. It's the number one motorsport in America, and we take our jobs very seriously, but all of us who cover it have been around it a long time. We're very ingrained in it, and, you know, that is the top priority. It's a passion, and I always tell people, it's not just a job for me, it's a lifestyle because it's a daily thing. Whether you're covering the races on Sunday or not, you're still staying in the group because, one, you care so much about it, and two, you just like it, and you like staying on top of all the action because there's a lot of storylines in NASCAR.
One of the storylines is, and of course, in your career, you've been making a lot of those on the history side. You and I out at the Clash of the Coliseum, that was history. Fox did all of that stuff, and there's some history being made coming up this week in Chicago. It's the first ever street race for the Cup Series. 75 years, NASCAR's, they've never done this.
It's unreal. You know, people ask that all the time, like, is this really a big deal? I'm like, this is a huge deal. In the last couple of years, NASCAR has taken some big steps to try new things. You mentioned it, moving the Clash around, going to the Coliseum, literally building an asphalt racetrack inside a stadium only to tear it up and let the football players for USC back on it. I mean, just things unprecedented. Taking the track, taking the races to the people is what NASCAR wants to do to open up some eyes, get some new fans, do things a little bit differently. And that's exactly what the Chicago Street Course is going to be like. And I guarantee that, you know, there's this whole movement and there's these people that they've caught on to F1 and they think it's so exciting and such a great event. I promise you that if you go to the Chicago Street Course race, you will not believe the action. The racing will be better than any street course you've seen, no matter what the style of racing, F1, et cetera. But also the atmosphere, you know, how close you get to our drivers. The drivers in NASCAR are all about the fans. You know, they're very touchable. It's very easy to get up in their face and get an autograph. And that's really what sets NASCAR apart.
Yeah, and as great of a job as you guys do, and it's always getting better, more advanced on the TV side, and you guys do it as well as anyone at Fox, and with all the capabilities you guys have on the studio side, and of course, on site, really, and we always say that there's no substitute for really being there, and that first time, you know, when you've gone to a race as a kid, or whenever it is that you experience, I know there'll be a ton of people, you know, well on in age, they're going to experience racing for the first time, the sights, the sounds, the vibrations, the smells. I mean, we're going to hook a lot of people this week.
Absolutely. I think people are going to tune in just to see what all this talk is about, what the chatter is about. What do stock cars look like on a street course in the downtown streets of Chicago? I think no matter if you're a race fan or not, it's something that you'll want to tune in for, see what it's all about, how they execute it, because it's never been done in our sport, like you said, in 75 years. So I think it's going to be a great event. And that's really what especially the younger fans want in this day and age. Like, sure, we want to go to a race, but what else do you have to offer? I want some atmosphere. I want a party feel. I want concerts, and they have a lineup of people. I mean, there's going to be something for everybody. And oh, by the way, there's going to be a great race too.
Right. They say if you can see it, you can be it. And I think even for people tuning in on television, seeing NASCAR in a place that they know, if they live in the Chicagoland area or even a metropolitan area, right, that hasn't necessarily been as exposed to racing in NASCAR, and to see it happening there, they'll think to themselves, well, why can't we do it? You brought up the TV side, and you know, just as the racing is going to be all different, all new for everybody, they're not letting the Cup drivers driving the Xfinity race. They don't want anyone to have a leg up on the experience side. But the TV side and what you've been doing your entire career, it's kind of all new for them too, you know, at least on the venue side. You've done road courses, but how would you, you know, if you're looking at this, you know, from either your pit reporter side or announcing it, how would you sort of approach a race like this?
Yeah, it's something so different, right? But I think that conveying it to the people watching, just, you know, how big the event is first and foremost, but how different it is. What everything is going to be purpose-built. I mean, pit road isn't going to look like your average pit road that there are week in and week out at a racetrack that we visit and it stands still for, you know, all year long except for the one or two races that they get. And like you said, I mean, people are used to in Chicago or watching on TV, they're like, well, we want to go to the Chicago area, but the only race we can go to is Chicagoland Speedway, which is a great place, but it's 45 minutes to an hour outside of the city. And that's a lot of times what you get. Like in California, people want to go to an oval race, they go to Fontana. We say it's LA, it's really not. It's though they create the clash, you know, in downtown Los Angeles. And that's what it's about. You know, now people watching will be like, I guarantee they're going to say, we want to be at that event next year. And oh, by the way, you can stay in a fancy hotel. You don't need a rental car. You can walk right down to the course. You can stay in a hotel that looks down on the course and take in all the action. So it's a totally different experience. I think we're going to see a lot of, like you said, first-time fans, people that really are going to be captivated, I think, by NASCAR. And not just, you know, the personalities that they'll see or what they do on the track, but just how exciting this style of racing is and these stock cars and what they're capable of. You know, we call them stock cars, but the reality is they really are like Formula One. I mean, the technology that these cars have now, it's far more than most people believe.
You guys and your team are in tune with the trends and, you know, who has momentum and who's racing really well. And more so than the NBC crew coming in, they just are brand new to the season. So when you look at this, is there a team they're trying to keep it as close to the vest as possible? A lot of people doing simulators to try to figure it out. Do you see anyone that you're like, okay, well, they have a good shot, or this could give them trouble? Any favorites for Jamie Little?
Yeah, I would think, you know, it is really hard. Like, it's the first time going there, right? We have no idea. And that's the exciting part of it. As a reporter, I love when we go somewhere for the first time. There's no notebook. Sure, they can do the simulation. And they hope they get it right, because sometimes it's not right. And they'll get to the track and be far off. They're going to have a long practice session. They'll be able to dial it in a little bit. But I would say, I look at somebody like Joey Logano. He has a knack for winning first-time events. We saw him do it at the Clash. We saw him do it on Bristol Dirt. He just has, like, he's just capable of adjusting and adapting and overcoming like nobody I've seen. So I would say Joey Logano will probably be pretty good. When it comes to manufacturers, it's hard to say, but Martin Truex Jr. just won the latest road course, and he also won at the Clash on a short track. So I would say that the Toyotas are probably going to be pretty strong. Martin Truex Jr. will be strong. And then Chase Elliott, you know, he's racing to make it into the playoffs after being out with a broken leg. He's got a win to get in, basically. And he's really good. I think he's probably the best road course racer we have in NASCAR right now.
It's going to be exciting, right? Because you just don't know what's going to happen. Somebody could come out of left field, right, with an aptitude and a knack for this. Either way, it's going to be just so cool. And you look at this, that sort of bigger picture from an entertainment side and watching television, it's going to have everything people would want. And in person, you're going to have a lot of that too. But Jamie, your thoughts big picture, because part of this and why Chicago, why here, a lot of the interviews that I'm doing with drivers, they're at schools or they're talking to kids about STEM or they're trying to connect in different ways to a non-traditional kind of next generation of race fans. Your thought on the impact, let's say, you know, God willing, everything goes well. What does it mean?
It's huge. It's huge for any community that NASCAR goes to. And that's a side of NASCAR that maybe people don't realize. They don't just show up and unpack and jump in their race cars, race, and then go home. These guys, these drivers, these teams, they come in, they're there 3-4 days in a row, and they go out into the communities. They give back. They help underfunded schools. They do the STEM stuff to open the eyes to kids that you can have a job in racing or you could be a race car driver. And, you know, Bubba Wallace does a lot of that. 2311, that race team, their reach in their communities is incredible. So if you're interested in that, if you're in the Chicago area, just look it up. You know, on NASCAR's website, a lot of times they'll list like where drivers will be, maybe appearances that they'll be making. But the impact in NASCAR is all about making an impact in the community, especially when it comes to a city like Chicago. It's the first time there. They really want to make a positive impact and get people to realize that we're a lot more than racing. We give back. They make a lot of money. They give a lot of money to the community.
Yeah, there's a bunch of events. We'll have links for all of them up at WGNradio.com. So, Jamie, as we let you go, and thanks for jumping on the WGN Street Race Radio special here tonight. But people want to know, they're already texting in. So where are you? Are you on a beach somewhere? Are you in the woods? Are you camping? Are you, let's say, like a dog, like rescue retreat? What are you doing?
I wish I was on a dog rescue retreat. I'm actually in the woods. I'm in South Lake Tahoe. It's actually where I was born. So we come back. My kids are here. My husband. We've got family friends up here. So it's a lot of fun. It's beautiful. It's a great getaway. And it's only like 60 degrees here right now. So a little bit different.
You got dressed for the weather. Enjoy the vacation. Enjoy the time off as we have enjoyed everything that you guys have been doing, that great Fox team. And, of course, Jamie, you as well. So thanks again. Again, we'll have links up for all your social media. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Yeah, Dan, always good to talk to you. And best of luck this weekend. I wish I was going to be in Chicago, but you know I will be watching. And I have no doubt it's going to be a great, successful event.
720 WGN. It is the Street Race Radio Special. Dane Neal here with you until 10. To my right, the one and only Pat Patterson is with us as well. And on the line, you know, this is a football town. This is the 20th anniversary of Emmitt Smith beating or breaking Walter Payton's record for the all-time rushing yardage crown. And one of the partners of him is that inspirational force of racing, of technology, of diversity, of positivity in general. It's the one and only Jesse Awuji. Jesse, welcome to WGN.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks so much for having us on the show tonight.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have you guys, and I know on the line, too, and you were excited about this, you were telling me about, so Andre Castro is the driver and the connections, not only the connections that everybody has, you know, they're going to be racing in that Xfinity race and trying to win the inaugural race here on the Chicago Street course, but also, you know, you've got that connection where he's racing for the University of Chicago.
Yeah. It's going to be a pretty exciting weekend. We're super excited to have Andre jumping on board this weekend to race with our team. I mean, you know, as you know, our team has been a big proponent of, you know, continuing to push diversity in motorsports, continuing to bring in new faces, new people into the sport, you know, not only just because of, you know, where they come from, what they look like, what they did in life, but really, you know, we look at all facets, right? We wanted to know that, you know, one, you know, Andre could drive, right? And he can. I mean, he's shown it in past racing disciplines that he's been in, but also too, just a very intelligent kid, obviously a graduate of University of Chicago. His school is on board supporting him, which is absolutely incredible to see education getting mixed with motorsports. And then with everything Andre is about, from his story, his family, and everything he's done to get to this point in life, it just couldn't have been a better mix to have him on board with our team. And Emmitt Smith's going to be here this weekend too as well, so we're looking forward to a really exciting time and continuing to push what we have going on with SUG Motorsports.
Andre, Pat Patterson here. Great to speak with you, and of course Jesse as well. Andre, when it comes to street racing, the turning left and right, you know, experience that you've had in open wheel cars, not anything like the weight of one of these big stock cars. You ready for slinging around all that heavy metal?
I think so. I've been waiting a whole lifetime for this, but yeah, thanks for having me on, Pat, and for the kind words, Jesse. But yeah, it's gonna be, you know, unlike anything I've ever done before. I did have some NASCAR experience previously in Europe, in the European NASCAR Championship in 2019 and a couple of races in 2020. So I've kind of gotten to grips with a heavier car, car that maybe doesn't break as well. But at the same time, you know, those cars over there in Europe, they still handle quite well, like better than I expected. And it was the same when I was, you know, doing the sim training for the Xfinity cars, and Jesse, you know, was able to get us some sim time down in Charlotte, the GM sim. So I actually got some laps down there, which was really valuable. And yeah, the car, you know, the car's got a lot of power. It's heavy, but I think I'm knowing what to expect. I know what to expect coming into this in terms of, you know, the car, and then street racing. Yeah, my last race is at St. Pete in the USF 2000 category. So yeah, hopefully I have a little bit of a leg up on the other drivers in that department. So it'll just be about me figuring out the car and also the track. Obviously every street circuit is different, and this one's definitely quite daunting, but you know, we're all gonna have 50 minutes of practice to figure it out, and hopefully we'll be able to do that and make our way into the show and have a good race.
Andre Castro joining us live here on WGN. So here's a question for you. If you were going to send your girlfriend, your parents, somebody to what you would deem as the trickiest part of the racetrack to watch, because people can walk around and see all these different corners that you guys are going to compete in, judging from the sim work you've done, Where would the couple of those places be good places for them to stand and watch, Andre?
I think literally anywhere. It's going to be a lot of crashes. No, I don't know. We'll see. I think a tough area is definitely going to be at the end of the Lakeshore Drive, kind of straightaway. It's not really a straightaway. It's, you kind of have a bend in the middle. And it's right. It's not really in the middle. It's actually towards the end of the straightaway. And then right as you kind of get out of that bend, which is in fourth gear, almost flat out, pretty much flat out, you're directly braking for a tightening right-hander, a double right-hander. So I think there is going to be an interesting place to watch, and some people might try to throw it down the inside there. And it's definitely very difficult to go too wide through there. So we'll see what happens. I think there's going to be a couple issues there, I'm sure, throughout the weekend. But, you know, we'll see. Again, there's a lot of unknowns. So there could be another corner that ends up being Calamity Corner, per se.
Yeah, you know, Andre, there's going to be a lot of people pulling for you, not only because they know what it is that you can do, and, of course, they're hearing the positivity right here on WGN, but also the car that you're representing for University of Chicago. So that is exciting, too. And Jesse, you know, when Pat asks, like, where's a good place to watch the race, you have that right at 610 South Michigan, the Turn 7 Sky Deck. So talk a little bit about what people are going to be able to experience. This is one of those things where, just as a lot of the track is unknown, a lot of the spectator and the fan side is completely unknown as well. Talk about the venue.
Yeah. So venue 610, which is going to be on Michigan Avenue right there. It's going to have an absolutely amazing view of most of the track. You'll be able to see turn 7, 8, 9, 10, and even more, depending on how high you go up in the building. But the E-Racing Association has secured the building, you know, for the weekend, and there's going to be a lot of guests coming through there. And any guests who are looking to come in, maybe bring in some business professionals, because that's really what we're looking to do, is have as many business professionals as possible in there. You know, you can still get your tickets for the event. You know, you can just reach out to Kevin Johnson at kevin@eragaming.gg, and he can help you out with that. But yeah, it's going to be pretty incredible from that view there. And you know, E-Racing Association, with all the sim racing events they do, you know, through iRacing and through other platforms and stuff, it kind of really has a great mix for what we're doing here this weekend. I mean, there's going to be a lot of simulators in the building, so if anyone wants to test their skills out, see how good they are before, you know, without having to actually get on the track, they'll have an opportunity to do that. But it should be a pretty cool time there. Unfortunately, I won't be there the whole time. I might dip in there a little bit here and there, but you know, my main focus is going to be on track. I'll be in the pits right there watching my guys, seeing what's going on, and just doing what I can to support Andre so that he can have a great weekend.
When you think about that next generation of race fans, a lot of people are going to see the action on the track here, of course, the broadcast and everything, and think, oh my gosh, it's in a city. It's in a city that's not, it's either where I live or not unlike where I live, and how to get into the racing side of it, the simulator side. So Andre, obviously part of the confidence that he has is because of his expertise on the simulators. And we've seen it, whether it's William Byron and a bunch of other drivers, you've seen it's a one-to-one where you can go ahead and get really valuable experience and be able to go ahead and race on the simulator side. Talk a little bit about that, Jesse, because you've always been a proponent of opportunities and the sport. And as far as, like, whether it's urban areas or areas where you don't have a lot of racing infrastructure, the simulators, e-racing, it's the way to bring people in.
Definitely a great way to bring people in. I mean, the cost to enter into, you know, the sim space and to be able to sim race, compete in tournaments, compete in events, or just train and just have fun. The cost to entry really isn't anywhere near what it is for real life. So it's an opportunity for folks, no matter what your background is, wherever you come from, to be able to get into that and learn how to drive these race cars virtually. And not, you know, have to, you know, worry about covering costs if you have damage on a car, you wreck, or you're trying to go, you know, train. I mean, every time you go train at a real track, I mean, that costs real money, right? But when you do it on a sim, you get the opportunity to do it for pretty much free. And you don't, not really spending much at all besides whatever the cost is for your membership with iRacing, your membership with E-Racing Association, and also, you know, whatever it costs, you know, for your internet bill.
It's exciting to see some of the opportunities that are there. In the last, like, 30 seconds or so we have with you, Jesse, give information where people can get. I know a lot of people, I've been getting lots of emails, hey, you know, Dane, do you have any tickets, or can you find a way to watch the race? People are looking for ways to get in on this. So give information how they can, you know, find out more about the venue and get in on all that action.
Yeah. To find out more information on the venue, the easiest thing is to reach out to Kevin Johnson, who's heading up the whole thing. Just email him at Kevin at
eragaming.gg, or you can head over to www.eragaming.gg. Head to the website, too. There's more information on there when you click on the Chicago link there, that you can find out some more ticket link information. But, you know, folks who are wanting to come, you can come out, be able to see the race, enjoy it, and enjoy your time here in Chicago while, you know, we got NASCAR in town.
It's going to be great. Jesse, thanks so much. I know a lot of people are going to be enjoying that race with you. Thanks for jumping on the show tonight.
Thank you.